Hey, thank you to Helix for sponsoring this podcast. Adam has had his Helix mattress for almost a year now, and he's loving it. It's actually hard to get him up. In fact, he won't stop talking about it. You'll understand what we mean when he goes into detail. Thank you for the detail, Adam, later on the episode. But for now, we want to tell our listeners about a special deal going on. Our Sleepy Time Pal Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and, as if that's not enough, two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/Paula. That's helixsleep.com/Paula. This is their best offer yet, and I'll bet it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
Jesus fucks.
Get ready for the miracle of mega. A comedy podcast from the staff of a fictional mega church.
And not only does he f*** but he's the best at it.
I'm Holly Loren.
And I'm Greg Hess.
Our characters, Hallie and Gray, welcome a new guest each week, played by some of the biggest names in comedy and podcasting.
Like Scott Aukerman, Lauren Lapkus, Paul Scheer, Jason Mantzoukas, Cecily Strong, and Duncan Trussell.
I just love to think about that, the light shining down on all those corpses in the water and Noah just going by and maybe a mom being like, please, we're running out of energy. Can you please let us on the boat?
It's completely improvised and it's devilishly funny.
Is there any question you have for us about, you know, what it means to live a life in Christ?
I guess, how much do you think is bullshit?
There's a new episode every Sunday.
Listen and subscribe to Mega, wherever you get your podcasts.
Best I ever had. Best I, y'all can do it, y'all can do it. Y'all sing along. You know what I'm saying? Here go. Jesus, you the best.
Jesus, you're the best.
You to be the best.
Jesus, you're
Jesus,
the best.
You the best. Okay, never mind.
Best I ever had. Best I ever had.
Coming to you live from the Ray Horseman Studio in North Hollywood, California, it's Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, your comedy field guide to life. On today's show, Emmy Award-winning casting director Jeannie Bacharach helps Paula hone her audition skills. Paula's getting ready by doing some memory exercises right now. I think it involves a crispy red chip and a dietary soda. Also, teacher Jason Shine talks about kids and homework. Should parents get involved in their kids' homework? And if not, how will we adults ever learn the history of California's 21 missions? I'm Adam Felber, the guy who tries to walk a straight line on the El Camino Real. And now, please welcome the woman who refuses to stay on any marked path, Paula Poundstone.
Thank you very much. Hey, Adam.
Hey, Paula. And also, welcome to tonight's house band, ukulele player, ukulist, Anyalina Lucero Collin.
What a name, huh?
It's a great name. I love on this winter night that she's adding such a touch of the islands here.
It's very nice. Yeah. It's not ukulist, is it? That's not.
It's definitely not ukulist.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You just made that up.
I just made that up.
Probably is.
If only we had a ukulele player here that we could ask.
That just seems like a dream.
Yeah.
Anyalina, what do they call it?
I think just ukulele player.
There
ukulele
you go,
player.
Ukulele
she says ukulele
player.
Player.
It's Adam trying to fancy it up.
I
somehow.
Am. I'm always trying to class this place up, and it just never works.
Right, the Ray Horsemanovich Studios.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I like to Russian it up too, much like our White House.
Yeah.
Now, Paula, I know you're in great shape. Everybody knows this about you.
That I'm in great shape.
Yes. This is what our producer, Ken Lezebnik, wrote here.
I'm in good
shape. This is his way of making a segue.
I am in good shape because I take Taekwondo.
You do take Taekwondo.
And my teacher, I do like more calisthenics than I think necessarily one needs to. You know, a good trainer knows that, you know, like you get the heart rate going before you do certain exercises.
Right.
Like that there is a science to it.
Right, you want to get your heart rate up to like 120, like right away, I think.
I don't know the numbers, but you know, there's like a science behind what you do in what order. And my teacher has one of those Apple watches or something like that.
Yeah, it's a smartwatch by Apple,
sure. And he's forever having some sort of communication with it. So whenever something comes in, he'll just go like, okay, you do 100 sit-ups. And then at first I was just doing the sit-ups and not paying any attention to what he was doing. Then I realized, no, it's because he's communicating with someone.
On his watch.
Right. Like if he had to file his taxes, for example.
Right, if it was one of those weeks.
Right, then I would just be doing hundreds of push-ups.
So you have noticed that it takes longer on certain days to do your warm-ups because he's on his watch.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it'll be like in the middle of something else. All of a sudden, he'll just go, like, we'll be working on the form, which is a, you know, a Taekwondo-y thing. And then he'll go, do 50 sit-ups. And it took me the longest time to figure it out because it's on his watch. So I didn't realize that's what he was doing right away.
Oh, I see.
I thought he was paying attention to how long it took me.
Yeah.
But it turns out he doesn't care at all. And by the way, I may have mentioned this before because I'm not sure. Like, there is a thing. When there's something like they give classes to kids and stuff. Now, I take privately, but...
Right, because a public Taekwondo class would be just...
It'd be a little bit humiliating. Yeah. But but what they do is they try to incentivize you continuing by the belt system.
That is the ancient way they get you.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is what Taekwondo
stands for. From time immemorial,
well,
Asian martial arts have been like, well... You don't have the purple belt yet.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think that in recent years they've added more belt levels.
Oh, they
like it's not
have.
Just purple belt. It's like purple.
A plaid belt.
It's purple with a stripe. Uh-huh. Yeah. Like I just recently got my Paisley belt. And
now he's just making that up.
Yeah, that's what I
yeah,
thought.
Yeah, that's his biggest scam is his Apple Watch thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no Paisley belt.
Do 100 sit up. I do a lot of kicking a big padded thing. And I realized that, like, here, it's so important, especially here at Ray Horseman Studios, where there's things like couches out on the street. If a couch ever comes at me, I can kick the shit out of a couch.
Oh, because you know how to kick a padded object.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas if a person came at you, unless it was somebody with a lot of extra padding.
A guy walked by me tonight that just scared me for no good reason.
But if he was wearing a parka, would you feel more comfortable kicking him?
I like...
Like one of those puffy little North Face jackets? Like a North Face vest. You could probably kick the ass of somebody.
Yeah, a fiber fill. I could do a fiber fill.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So I was wondering if those German Shepherds and Dobermans that they train to attack are only attacking people with the giant gloves.
Oh, because that's how they
train.
Yeah.
Like, what do you want me to do now? He's not wearing the glove.
If you make the mistake of walking with those big gloves just casually down the street, you can expect a Doberman to come at you.
Don't wear those gloves near dogs.
Did I tell you? I can't even remember what I've told you. I have a memory problem.
Yeah, you do.
Which I've probably mentioned before.
Just 5 seconds ago. And 10 seconds before that.
My dog, went to my dog Sirius, who's here with us tonight. He's
welcome, Sirius.
We were on a street corner in Santa Monica one time, which reminds me, by the way, our security guard is not here tonight. Did you know that?
You just digressed from your digression.
I know, because I was thinking about the security guard.
Yeah, we have security here.
Do you know why? Because he was beaten up in Santa Monica.
He was not.
Yeah.
He was?
He was on the 3rd Street Promenade.
He was not.
Yeah, he was coming out
Jonah Glickman?
He was coming out of a Hello Kitty, and somebody just... Somebody just nailed him with a big lollipop.
I do want to point out that our security tonight is being provided by producer Tony Anita Hull.
Yeah.
Who is just the most adorable and non-threatening security guard I've ever had in my life.
Honestly. Yeah. So if there's any ne'er-do-wells out there, tonight's the night to make your move.
Right. Unless you're susceptible to cute.
Yeah.
In which case, you are fucked.
Yeah, they'll just fall apart.
Yeah.
Yeah,
she'll have assailants giving her hot soup.
You know what? She looks like she couldn't do any harm, but it's going to turn out.
Oh, yeah, she's a killer.
You know how years later the neighbors go like, no, she seems so nice.
Right. It's an interesting neighbor character you just did there.
Well, that's my neighbor character.
Okay.
She seems so nice.
Let me segue. Let me see what Ken got for us as a segue here.
Does Ken have a segue?
Yeah. He wrote, I know you also got to work on a social media this past week.
What does that mean?
You also got a workout. You also got a workout on social media.
I know what he's talking about. No, because you know what? I on Twitter this weekend.
Yeah, you were involved in a Twitter tussle.
There was a Twitter kerfuffle.
Yeah. That had something to do with wait, don't tell me, right?
Well, it did. But basically what this person was saying was that, somebody on air mispronounced someone else's name.
Not you.
No, it wasn't me.
Okay.
But they wrote in on Twitter to me.
Right, to
and
you.
They said that's so disrespectful to not be able to pronounce someone's name. And I just, I don't usually get into a kerfuffle. I usually just sort of let stuff go because I don't
care. You live a kerfuffle-free existence.
I try to. But I wrote back and I'm like, you know what? In the world, with everything we have to shoulder.
Right. In the
world
right now.
I think mispronouncing someone's name... Given given like all the forms of disrespect that lurk just outside the door right now, really mispronouncing someone's name?
Was it viewed as culturally disrespectful?
I think in this case it may have been. They didn't say that specifically, but I think it was laced with
pronouncing
with
names that are not, you know, anglicized. Yeah. I try.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a lot of nations out there.
Well, when
tons
I'm reading
of languages.
When I'm reading a book that comes from like a Russian novel, for example.
Okay.
What I do, and I tend to do this anyways, which is when I come to a name that I can't pronounce.
Right.
What I do in my brain is I go, oh, it's that name that I can't pronounce. But then I'm reading a Russian novel and like everyone is that
so
name.
It becomes hard to tell
that
the characters
I can't
apart.
Pronounce. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So that's not really a helpful.
That's not helpful at all as a reader.
Identifier.
No. And you have like name panic anyway. Anyway, with names and pronunciations, right?
I do. And I have 14 cats, and you know, they hate wearing name tags.
Nothing
because
is
of
more disrespectful
the sticky stuff.
Than mispronouncing a cat's
name.
Oh,
yeah. I'll say Chloe, and she'll go, no, I'm Severus.
Yeah.
And oh my gosh, that's intense. I think as I get older, maybe the experience of forgetting people's name have become worse.
Really?
Yeah. Although
Who am
always, I always had it a little bit.
Who am I?
Hold on. It starts with an A.
No, I always had it a little bit, and it seems to be getting a little worse as I age as well.
But part of it is anxiety, right? When you get nervous about it, then it gets worse. I remember, like, and when you meet somebody and you never quite got their name,
right?
And yet you've met them over and over again, and now you know them too well.
Right.
Just, like, this
that happens to me all the time.
This happened with me and my dad, where I would just see him in the hallway. And I would know that I know this guy. I know this guy. And
right.
I just...
Now, that never happened to me.
No.
So there's other Twitter kerfluffles that have been happening a little bit lately.
Somebody wrote me... maybe this was Instagram, maybe. I took a picture of... I was feeding my cats. And it's a glorious thing to see 14 cats at the bowls. I took an overhead shot. And the dog was in his cage right beside the cats eating. And someone wrote to me, It's abuse to have that dog in the cage there. And I looked at the picture again, and first of all, I don't want the dog to eat the cat's food, and second of all, he doesn't want the cats in his cage.
Right.
And he's perfectly happy in that cage.
Yeah, you crate your dog at times.
Right, exactly. But in fact, in this case, I looked at the picture again, and the door to the cage was wide open.
Wow.
Yeah.
So somebody was just looking to stir up some
shit. And
there
was a big exit sign right there, so he knew.
There isn't an exit sign, but
there is, yeah. My dog can read. Did I tell you that?
Can Sirius read?
Yeah, he reads aloud to me at night.
Oh, that's really nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe he can give you some pointers at looking at the script once in a while.
Yeah. Maybe he could.
That's fine.
No, don't be. You know, I like to just talk, Adam. I mean, yes,
and you're good at it.
Yeah, thank you.
Now, one more little kerfluffle. This show, a couple of weeks ago, made reference in an interview with a tattoo removal specialist.
Yeah.
Made reference to a tramp stamp. In fact, he called it that, a tramp stamp.
He also drove a snowplow, didn't he, that guy who removed... The guy who removed the tattoos?
That was a separate guest. We had a snow removal specialist on a different show. This was a tattoo. They're completely unrelated professions.
Because I was just thinking maybe that was how he did it.
Oh, by plowing?
Yeah, just big scraping on somebody's...
Yeah, that would be terrible.
But I'll bet you wouldn't go...
Yeah, I zambonied my tattoo away.
You wouldn't go get one of those stupid tattoos again.
It would learn you, that's for sure.
All right, so we had referred to the tattoo in the... I was told, by the way, that it was called the tattoo in the lower part of a woman's back. Was called
a tramp stamp.
A tramp stamp.
Not only were you told, but our doctor referred to it as such, as something that he removes frequently.
Yeah, tramp stamp.
But somebody really, really took umbrage at us using that descriptor. And at one point, I alluded to the idea that perhaps tramp stamps often have some sort of sexual connotation. They're there for, you know, sexy reasons.
Sexual, by the way, to read like instructions on the just above the butt of your girlfriend?
You know, instructions would be awesome.
Yeah.
If there's somebody out there who's thinking of getting a tramp stamp, if you could just have in very small writing instructions on what you would enjoy.
All right.
I think that would be the great. Send us pictures.
For me personally,
yes.
It would say see other side. That's just me. Everyone can have what they want.
Right.
But I would say,
Other side.
See other side.
Right.
And
what is the matter with you?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Do not turn over. Just on the other side.
Really funny.
All right.
Well, we've just made matters worse, so let's move on.
Yeah, I had, you know, there might be, could be a medical reason they put them there.
A medical reason, like what?
Yeah, for like a, you know, instructions for a spinal tap or something, just, you know, the place of insertion.
Yeah, so different place of insertion is what we're talking about. So it's a spinal tap guide.
Because isn't that where it is, isn't it?
I've never had a spinal tap.
I haven't had a spinal tap either,
but I saw the film. Does anybody know if spinal taps are done more or less in the tramp stamp area? Anybody in this? We have like 9 people in the studio, and nobody seems to know.
Hold on, I'll ask the dog. I don't know. I'm sure somebody's reaching.
In any case, we apologize to our listeners for whatever we did.
No, you know what? I'm not apologizing. Somebody wrote in upset about that. That is a person with too much time on their hands. And you know what I say to that listener?
What do you say?
I say listen to the next episode and the one after that to busy themselves.
Well, what if that episode hasn't come out yet?
I mean, catch up on the ones that you may have.
This responded within moments of
dropping. Yeah, well, then catch up on the old episodes. And stop. Everyone has to stop being so offended by everything.
How dare you?
I am so sorry.
Oh, that's not an apology.
That's something
I enjoy online. People get outraged at people, and then people apologize, and then they're told that's not how you apologize.
Yeah,
that's not really an apology.
Yeah. Oh, you know, when my sister and I would fight when we were kids, I'd say, "Well, I'm not going to do something until you apologize." I was the youngest, and she'd go, "Okay, I'm sorry," and that would just burn the hell out of me because I'm like, "That's not an apology." I'm just going to wear a T-shirt that says, "I'm sorry. I'm so, so sorry."
Yeah. Well, that's not an apology. Actually, you know, saying, "I'm sorry if you were offended" is very offensive online nowadays.
To say, "Oh, I'm sorry if you were offended."
Right, because it's not owning
that
you committed an offense.
The person.
Yeah.
Right,
I kind of buy that. Yeah. All right, now,
I'm sorry if your arm broke
phone
when I shut the door on it.
With a picture of where the spinal tap goes in.
Oh, Bonnie Burns just handed you her flat thing, by the way.
Flat thing with a picture. And you look at that picture. That's a picture of where the insertion point for a spinal tap is. I'm going to say
But I can't tell from that picture where it is.
It looks like it's a little over the traditional tramp stamp area.
Oh, up higher?
Yeah. Like if you were getting a tramp stamp with a spinal tap guidelines, you'd probably have arrows pointing up.
Oh, I see. Right. Oh, God. It's so creepy anyways.
Yeah.
I'm
not glad that
creepy.
I was shown that at this moment.
No, me neither. No, I'm you know, wait, what's wrong?
We have whiled away way too much time at this
have
point.
We? So, wait a minute, I'm making a balloon animal.
You're not. You're just blowing up
too.
A balloon.
No, I'm using my pump.
Now, you are, which
yeah,
always
I'm,
sounds like
because
you're
Because the baby's at home and I'm not going to be there later.
Right, so you're pumping up a balloon.
Yeah.
For those of
I'm
you
gonna
who
I'm
going to
have one disappointed baby.
Hey, Paula. You know, every once in a while, we get a new advertiser that I get super excited about. And I have to say, just because of the circumstances of my life, right now, I'm really excited about our new advertiser, Quince, of Quince.com, the clothing provider.
Not to be mistaken for Quince from Midsummer Night's Dream. And let me just say this, and maybe it's not important to an advertisement, but when I was in the fourth grade, our class put on a production of A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Okay.
And I played Peter Quince. There's the connection.
One of the mechanicals. That's a great connection. Also, yes, has nothing to do with this, which is that Quince is an online clothing store. And as you know, Paula, I've lost a little weight lately.
Oh, right.
75 pounds. Yeah. So I literally have no clothes that are in my size until I just ordered some stuff at Quince. And I figured, like, here's a chance for me to create a new look for myself. A whole new image.
And how's it going?
Not bad. I mean, the clothes are fantastic. I know that you ordered some too. What I got is the Comfort Stretch Traveler 5-pocket pants. And I got I got the 100% European linen shirt, and it looks breezy and it fits beautifully. And these are like premium pieces of clothing that are selling for like, you know, $30 a piece or starting at $30 at quince.com. It's awesome. I look good.
I ordered the brushed lounge jogger.
Ooh.
And, you know, I put them on when I came back from New York. I pulled them on and I swear to you, okay, this is not scientific because I was tired already.
Right.
But they were so soft and so comfortable that honestly, like right as I got them up to my waist, I think my eyes closed. They're so, it's a softness. It's a kind of softness that I don't think I've ever experienced in a garment, honestly.
You know, my drawstring European linen trousers are a little bit like that, too. Like, so comfortable that I just want to hang out with myself.
Sure. Yeah. And they're European. Keep that in mind.
They are so European. And you can get those kind of, you can get washable silk tops. You can get 14 karat gold jewelry and like all these accessories.
Quince sells a lineup of timeless pieces that keep their customers looking effortlessly chic year after year. I'm not certain that I look chic, but certainly if I did, it's not going to take a lot of effort.
I now look chic and I feel pretty great. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabric. It's all good as far as I can see.
Is it my imagination or do they cut out the middleman?
They cut out the middleman, Paula Poundstone.
I love it when they cut out the middleman. That's the thing, they cut out the middleman. That's fantastic.
So be like me and Paula. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/nobody for free shipping on your order and a 365-day returns. That's quince.com/nobody to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/nobody. And honestly, I look fantastic. Paula, you won't be able to keep your hands off me.
Oh, I can't wait. And don't think that if you had to return something, don't think you're sending it to a middleman because they cut out the middleman.
They cut out the middleman. That's quince.com/nobody. And if you're going to do it anyway,
use our code.
Hey, Paula, it's been almost a year now since I got my Helix mattress. And as you remember, there was some drama surrounding Helix mattresses.
Because
First sponsored us, Bonnie took the mattress and she's been loving it. But finally, I got my chance to get a Helix mattress and I sleep so well. I mean, the family bed is where we all gather. We watch movies in our room occasionally and everybody just piles on it and it's comfy. And yet when one person hops on, the other half of the mattress doesn't fly up. I'm a fan.
Well, you know, Adam, everybody is unique and everyone sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. Models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, enhanced cooling features to keep you from overheating at night. And if your spine needs some extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining individually wrapped steel coils in the base with premium foam layers on top. It is the perfect combination of comfort and support.
I agree with that last bit. I don't get all the technical stuff about the mattress, but it is soft and supportive. Helix offers 20 unique mattresses, the award-winning Lux, which I got, an ultra-premium Elite Collection, the Helix Plus, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and the Helix Kids mattress, designed for growing bodies and endorsed by child sleep experts, and my daughter now wants one. So, how will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? You go to their website, take the Helix Sleep Quiz, and you find your perfect mattress match in under 2 minutes.
You know, when you said you can't follow all the technical stuff, it's really not that technical. You know, no matter what way you sleep, they have a mattress that will support and comfort you. How hard is that?
You know, when you say it that way, it seems a lot simpler. I take it back. That's my boner.
And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door, free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress.
Well, I like that there's a warranty, but they can pry that mattress from my cold, dead hands. I took the sleep quiz. I was matched with the Helix Midnight Lux. I got the Lux, and I love it. It is such an upgrade from my old mattress.
You know, I think Bonnie got the Midnight Lux.
She did.
Too.
Yeah.
You're not here. Don't want to take Adam's word for it? Well, you got Bonnie's word. Helix has been awarded the number one mattress picked by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors of sleep medicine as a go-to solution for improving your sleep. Your sleepy time pal Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners.
That's a lot, and it's already not that expensive a mattress. Go to helixsleep.com/Paula.
That's helixsleep.com/Paula.
This is their best offer yet. It's fantastic. It won't last long.
With Helix, better sleep starts now. Well, not right now.
And if you're going to get it anyway,
use our code.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
For those of you who, for this is your first episode, I don't know why you'd start here, but Paula is under the delusion, has been under the delusion, that she makes balloon animals. She
it's not true.
Basically inflates balloons. But Paula has, to be fair, Paula inflates balloons and doesn't really make them into balloon animals. But over the last month or two, I've noticed that you actually seem to have learned a little bit about twisting balloons. You're not twisting them into coherent shapes yet, but I can't just say you're just blowing up a balloon anymore.
No, I am making balloon animals. I have been spending a lot of my weekends at college balloon animal seminars.
Really?
Yeah.
There are a lot of them these days?
Yeah.
I like that you're trying to twist one there. And again, I'm going to say this before. This
no,
makes
you know what
for
this
some
is?
Great audio.
I'm making a spine.
You're making a spine?
I'm making a spine.
Right.
And we're going to tap it later.
And then
it
you're going to draw a little tramp stamp on it?
Yeah.
The more that we say tramp stamp, the more this one
tramp
listener
stamp.
Getting angrier.
Someone is so upset.
What do you call it then?
A whore mark.
That's better. Okay, from now on, listeners, from now on, we're going to be calling it a whore mark.
The mark of the whore.
Arr, he's got the mark of the whore. We don't even have time. We were going to do a Thomas Coyne update, you know, Survivalist Thomas Coyne. We're going to do that next week because we've got a lot of listeners who want to know what's happened to him. So we promise you next week we're going to give you a full update on the Thomas Coyne affair.
And please, listeners, continue to string that net across that dragnet across the world searching for Thomas Coyne. So far, we have had great success.
I want to hit one more thing. We're not having great success with
we
that.
Have found so many places where he isn't. Are you kidding me?
But he could be in any of those places right now.
No, he's
it's
not.
It's a terrible way of searching.
No,
I said we weren't getting into this.
No, Trump is considering having me work at the FBI.
That I believe.
Ever since what's-his-name was fired.
Comey?
No, Comey. It's so disrespectful to pronounce his name
I
wrong.
I want to move on. We're going to at some point introduce our first guest. But
we are.
Before we even get to that, a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about you and auditioning, right?
Oh, I had an audition. Yeah.
You had an audition, and we had an anxiety specialist here to coach you on your anxiety because you have terrible anxiety leading up to auditions.
Yes,
you
I
usually
do.
End up just blathering at your auditions,
right?
Which
my
is
whole,
so out of character.
My whole audition is taken up by me talking about things not germane
because you're nervous.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, did that anxiety coach help? How did that audition go?
It didn't help at all.
Didn't help at all. Did you do exactly that?
The other thing is, I forget stuff when I'm nervous, and so I couldn't really remember what he suggested. I mean, I think he said breathe, and I'm sure he was breathing. Because, you know, here I am.
Right. Arguably, you've done that at other auditions.
What else did he say? I don't even remember anymore that I should do.
Well, you should listen to our podcast once in a while. He had some pretty good advice.
I'm going to have to listen. No, when I get nervous, I can't stop talking and I forget things. So a lot of what I'm saying isn't really scintillating because I don't remember what I mean to say. Who are you again?
Never mind.
So I would really like help.
Okay.
With
well,
auditioning.
Help is on the way in at some point.
Thank goodness.
Because when we return to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone in just a minute, after we talk about our sponsors for a minute, we're going to have casting director Jeannie Bacharach here.
Oh, fantastic.
She is going to tell you how you're fucking up.
Tell her I said, get in line.
All right. Well, let's pay some bills. And these are great bills to pay because we have some great sponsors this week. Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, Paula, is sponsored once again by...
Oh, I thought we were advertising on Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone.
No, we're not sponsoring us. We don't really believe in the product. But this week we're being sponsored by one of our best sponsors, HelloFresh.
Oh, I tried HelloFresh.
You tried HelloFresh.
I did. Not only did I, a non-cook, enjoy preparing the meal, but also, you know, the serving size was really good because I had more for the next day.
Right.
And I think stuff always, it tasted delicious the first day.
Right.
But the second day, I think, and this isn't science talking, that, you know, the juices, you know, they commingle.
The juices commingled.
Yeah, and so it was even better by the second day.
I don't think that's going to be their next slogan, but let's just tell our listeners what HelloFresh is, which is it's one of those services where it makes conquering the kitchen in 2019 a reality with deliciously simple recipes. They send you everything, fresh, pre-measured ingredients, easy-to-follow six-step pictured recipe cards are delivered to your door each week in an insulated box. All meals come together in 30 minutes max, and there's three flexible plans to choose from, classic, veggie, and family. You went veggie, right?
I went veggie. Did you say pre-measured?
Yeah, they gave you pre-measured ingredients.
I feel like an idiot.
What?
I was measuring it.
But they already measured it for you. That's like one of the points.
Well, I thought it was a weird coincidence.
No.
Every time. Yeah, it was like, oh my gosh, it said a cup and that's a cup.
Yeah.
So it was pre-measured.
Yeah, you didn't have to actually measure it.
Whoa, boy.
Well, I have a very important announcement here. I've been told that our friends at HelloFresh have decided that your sidekick is also worthy of receiving some HelloFresh. So the next time we talk about HelloFresh, I also, and you know, I cook a lot. I also will be able to report on how the HelloFresh thing went.
Oh, that's good.
I'm pretty
excited.
And
you know, you're on the show.
What, nobody listens to Paula Poundstone?
Yeah.
You've goaded our listeners into every theme song mentioning, and in every review mentioning that Adam Felber is on every show.
I love you guys reading your Twitters when you say that Adam was there.
I don't consider that to be a great compliment. I kind of wish our listeners came up with something besides Adam's on every show, but I feel like you're goading them into insulting.
It's great to be remembered, isn't it?
It is. And let's remember something else, that HelloFresh has a special offer for 2019. See how I did that?
Yeah.
You can get $80 off your first month. Go to HelloFresh.com/Poundstone80.
Yeah.
And enter the code Poundstone80.
Yeah, now, you got to let them know you heard it here.
Yeah, absolutely. But not only are you letting them know you heard it here, you're getting $80 off your first month by going to HelloFresh.com/Poundstone80 and entering the code Poundstone80.
They're getting $80 off? Well, then let me also tell you my address, because you can send that $80
to
Paula.
No. That kind of interferes with the pristine nature of the HelloFresh ad.
Oh.
And let's interfere with another ad, because tonight we welcome a new sponsor to the show, ModCloth.
ModCloth?
You're familiar with ModCloth.
I am familiar
with ModCloth. ModCloth, there's no such thing as an ordinary outfit. Crafted by a team of in-house designers, their signature styles include hand-drawn prints, standout silhouettes, and an inclusive size range that celebrates all women. And apparently no men.
Oh, are there not?
I don't know. You've been there.
I have been there, but I don't recall. I guess I didn't click on the men's stuff if there was.
Probably not. You probably went there and browsed the women's stuff.
I clicked on the women's stuff.
Did you find it easy to use with attractive garments?
I did. I found shoes that I really liked. And people are always saying to me, you know, where do you get those shoes?
Right.
And I found shoes on there that I really love.
That's fantastic. Yeah. So everybody else can now get involved in this. I mean, you could have before, but now there's a special offer we're going to tell you
about.
Wait
a minute. So you can have HelloFresh for dinner.
You can have
Then get how much off on ModCloth?
You can look great at dinner and get 15% off your purchase of $100 or more. Go to ModCloth.com. That's ModCloth.com. And then just enter the code Poundstone at checkout. And the offer is valid for one-time use and expires on the 7th of April. But you can get 15% off a purchase of $100.
Nice.
So make a purchase of $1,000, you get $150 off.
So my address is Paul Poundstone.
No. Again, that's ModCloth, ModCloth.com. Enter the code Poundstone. Nice. And thank you to our house band, Anya. Anyalina.
You've
been
Anya.
Fantastic there on that ukulele.
She's a ukulele player.
She's a ukulele player.
Don't let anybody tell you she's a ukuleleist or something. She's a ukulele player.
She's a ukulele player.
Wait a minute. I'm almost done with my balloon animal.
Yeah, and again, it looks sort of like you folded a triangle there.
No, it's a ukulele.
Is it a ukulele?
Yeah,
oh, are you going to give that to Anyalina?
Yeah, she's going to want that. God, it's got that great
Anyalina,
sound.
Are you going to want that?
She could be a dual
ukulelist, she says.
Yeah, look at that. That is a beautiful ukulele. Yeah.
All right. Well.
look how I did the strings.
There are no strings on that. there's just this weird tip that like what one might find on a prophylactic device. All right, well, we're back. And we talked about that audition that you had, right, Paula?
Just painful.
But you're going to get some help. Help is on the way. Actually,
goodness.
Help has been here for more than 30 minutes.
Yeah, a lot of times you have to recognize when the help is there.
Yeah, exactly. And this help is in the form of casting director Jeannie Bacharach. And she's been nominated for 5 Emmys and last year won the Emmy for casting the marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Please welcome Jeannie Bacharach.
Jeannie, thanks so much for being here.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here.
Well, thanks. Now, all right, so I have so many auditioning nightmares.
Jeannie, have you ever auditioned alone. Paula Poundstone for a part?
No.
Several.
No,
oh, you have?
No.
Okay.
No. I was put on the spot. I didn't know what
no,
it was.
No, no, no. Just, yeah. just be honest.
Okay.
Let Paula handle the lion's share of the dishonesty.
All right.
No, I knew you hadn't. I don't think I've ever gotten a role that I auditioned for.
What?
No, I don't think so. I could go in on the Paula Poundstone story, and they'd go, "No, she's not like that."
Well, we're gonna give it to Kathy Griffin, I think.
Yeah, we're going in a different direction with Paula. I get a lot of that.
cut to the premiering on ABC with Kathy Griffin playing you.
Yeah. That is exactly what happens. Well, Adam and I already have had a conversation about this.
Which you were privy to because you were sitting right here.
Oh. No.
Oh,
before.
Earlier.
The last audition I went on, it was supposed to be this very strong character who felt very confident in her work and knew what she was doing. But there was a lot of, fairly thick swaths of dialogue on the page. And it's not like I had, weeks to memorize it. And I'm a slow memorizer. So I had always been told by acting coaches that you don't memorize because you don't want them to feel like this is as good as it gets. You want them to feel like, gee, maybe if she had some time, she'd get something.
And what I said is my wife is an actress, also named Jeannie, and what she says is that you're supposed to memorize it as best you can, but have the sheet of paper there in front of you, and that's the way to audition.
What's your feeling?
I think it's helpful to have the sheets in your hand. I don't think it has to be absolutely memorized. I think having the sheets in your hand is a little bit like having an umbrella with you and then it won't rain.
Right.
If you're holding those sheets in your hand, you won't actually need them. But I think being as familiar as you can with the material is just going to help you feel freer in the room.
Right.
So. Yeah. But sometimes if you're so memorized, you're stuck in your head trying to remember what the next line is.
Well, I have that.
You don't want to be programmed.
Yes. You want to be able to maybe move back and forth between some memorization and looking down at your lines on your sheet.
Well, it's very hard. And by the way, a lot of times when I get opportunities to read for something, it's generally that the person they really wanted, fell off a truck.
Right.
And, can you audition for this tomorrow?
Yes, with
and so there
12 pages of material.
A lot of memorizing time. And I have 14 cats, and sifting must be done.
All right, we all we do hear that. However, it sounds like you should be more familiar with the material than you are when you walk in the room. Let's get to the way that Paula talks for about a half an hour after walking into the room before getting to the sides. Is that a kind of a warning sign to a casting director?
Can be a little bit of a big red flag, yeah.
A red flag.
Yeah.
It's a red flag.
Enormous red flag,
right.
Actually.
So if Paula does that, no matter how good she is, she's probably not going to get cast, right?
So I'm supposed to just go in and sit quietly and then read the thing and leave as if none of this ever happened?
It can be helpful.
Okay, so you've already self-identified your biggest challenge.
Here's
as an
the
auditioner.
Answer. I'm never going to get a fucking acting job. That's the answer.
Maybe there's a balance. Maybe it's 5 minutes of riffing.
Okay.
And then launching in.
Oh, I
and
see.
Then a clean exit.
Yeah.
Right. You should probably set an
clean
alarm.
Exit is key.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Okay.
What's a clean exit?
Finish the scene. Thank you, and go. Not a anything else you might need. Hang around.
Oh, because then you see.
Don't forget your purse. Don't look for a reason to come back in the room.
Okay.
Oh,
so you can
that
hear.
Around?
Oh, sure. So they can hear what might be being said about them.
Oh, that's
no,
gross.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
I would never even want to do that.
Well, no, because you've napalmed the room by the time you leave.
I would say, look, if you're going to say anything about me, please let me get out of the building first.
Right.
I'd say, you know what? I will text you when I'm out of the building and then you can
talk. Then you can start speaking. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Jeannie, how much of this is looks? Like, we were talking about that, too. When somebody walks into the room,
sure.
If they are the right look, they're getting the part, and if they're the wrong look, they're not getting the part.
Well, they're not getting the job just because of how they look, but they might not get the job because of how they look.
Okay. Oh,
well, that's what happened a lot, too.
You think so?
I'm pretty sure of it. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. No, like, I auditioned for Barbie the movie. And
you did?
Yeah.
For the title role?
And I was turned down for that.
Because of your tramp stamp?
Yeah.
No, wait, I'm sorry. What was it called?
My whore mark.
Your whore mark. Gotta be in trouble now.
All right. So,
sometimes people will walk in and they're just not right for the role. But any good casting director is going to still let them do the work that they prepared and think about them for something else.
Right. Although it does have a lot to do with who's being cast alongside them,
too, right? Sure. Sometimes you might look like somebody that's already on the show, and that's not going to work.
Or they don't look like they're a family member of somebody
exactly,
already on the show, and they're supposed to be.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
That can happen.
Oh, my God.
What are your pet peeves?
Can you even imagine if I went in to read on something and my mom already had a role on the show?
That would be embarrassing.
It would be awful.
Yeah. Not likely, because she's not an actress.
Right, but still.
It's still.
Yeah, like a surprise they just sprung on you.
I think that's an anxiety that you should think about the next time you walk into a room.
We got your mother, who you haven't talked to in 30 years, and we brought her in from Tennessee.
Maybe something you don't need to worry about before you go into audition.
Take that off your list of anxieties
when you go into audition.
Yeah, I feel like we're peering into Paula's head as to where this is all going so horribly wrong. What are your pet peeves in the room, Jeannie? What do people do besides coming back and pretending that they'd left their purse? What else?
That's so terrible.
Apologizing before they even start.
Oh, I haven't had time to look this over.
Yes.
And I have this thing on my face, so I had to cover it up with too much makeup.
Yeah, I was out partying too late last night.
I would never say I was out partying too late last night.
No, you might be. Maybe you were with your cats.
It would just never occur to me to say that.
You might start talking about the
anything.
Cats being keeping you sifting cat boxes, keeping you from being familiar with the part. You might say.
No, I don't think the things I talk about have nothing to do with whether or not I'm familiar with the part.
Okay. Oh, that's helpful.
Let me give you an example.
You're avoiding that.
I am. The whole thing is avoiding.
Let's get something that might help actors out there. Yeah. Are there any misconceptions that actors have, mistakes that they make all the time that you wish you could just take them all under your wing and say, look, just don't do this?
Not being prepared.
Not being prepared.
Not being prepared. Not putting in the... Not having done their homework.
Okay, but when you get the call the day before, how much preparation did you really think there was going to be?
A day. That's not even
They're
math.
Actors. They have nothing else they are doing.
Oh, well, in my case, I have many other things.
You have many other things. That is true.
Come on. I have a podcast, for God's sake.
That's true. These podcasts don't make themselves.
Every actor has a podcast, too. They keep talking about how polarized the country is and how little we all have in common anymore, and that's simply not true. We all breathe oxygen. We don't eat our young, and we have a podcast.
Right.
That...
the essential qualities of modern humanity.
Yeah, but what you're saying is that the people who are going to get the jobs are the one who delayed their podcast taping that day so that they could go to the
Priorities,
audition.
Yeah.
Can you think of a time where there was someone and they came in and you really didn't think they were right for the part and then they did something that made you go,
oh
my gosh.
Yeah.
So people can dazzle you.
People can absolutely surprise you. It's the best part.
That does sound like the best part.
That's the best part of casting,
I'd be happy to hear you say that.
Yeah. Like when Bob Newhart read for the Bob Newhart show.
Nailed it.
He almost didn't get it.
Yeah, but he turned him around in the room. Not the right guy.
Exactly.
Not the right guy.
So, Jeannie, what we're going to do here is we're going to try to do a little audition. And see if... Now, you've been given sides, have you not?
I have.
It's fantastic.
And I prepared.
You did prepare.
Did
you?
I worked on this all last night.
Do you prepare in some way as a casting director?
Absolutely.
What do you do?
I want to be as familiar with the scenes beforehand so that I then have the ability when I'm reading with the actors to really see what they're doing, that I'm available to them, I can give to them.
But you don't try to act hard right back at them.
No.
I mean, it's got to be tempting to put a little
exactly.
spin on
no,
it.
You got to find the right balance. It shouldn't be about you.
Anything.
There are people who do make it about them.
Because I don't think I've ever gotten anything from a casting person that I read
Those
with.
Those are brutal
I mean,
ones.
Nothing.
Brutal.
Well,
just,
you're not the best listener.
No, I don't think... No, honestly.
No, really, you get nothing?
Yeah.
Just
yeah,
flat?
Yeah, yeah. It can be brutal.
Yeah, like.
Were you an actor at one point?
I was.
Oh,
I was.
Great.
No, well, I try to give. Yeah. In fact, I've had people say, you know, oh my God, you're off book. You're, you know.
Aww.
They're not off book as the actor, but I'm off book.
No,
but that's because I need to be available to them.
Yeah, I've gotten stuff like, I love you too.
Really?
And, yeah. And,
right.
And, you know, I'm dying now, but I'll be in your heart.
Okay, well, that's terrible, but I do want to point out that those readings are coming after you've unspooled a story for a half an hour in the room.
You know what? You are so negative.
I know.
When I get Paula Poundstone the movie, you're not going to fucking be in it. How about
that? Who's going to play Adam Felber in the podcast scene?
Those are written out. No,
all right,
it's going to be... Adam Felber's going to be playing with a guy with flowing long hair.
I used to have flowing Fabio. Long hair, Paula Poundstone.
Yeah, exactly.
There are many pictures of me with flowing long hair.
The detective came and knocked on the door, and I said, "Is it Renee?" And he just gave me that solemn look.
It was the worst day ever.
The Proof Podcast is back with a new case and a new season. 23 years ago, 18-year-old Renee Ramos went missing. Her body was later found in an empty Home Depot building on the edge of town.
I don't think that they arrested the right people. It's about time somebody's trying to do something.
She had a black eye about 2 weeks before she was murdered.
They are involved. They definitely had her body and her backpack.
You know people are going to judge you, right?
Of course. They're judging me now. They've been judging me damn near my whole life.
You can listen now to season 2 of Proof, wherever you get your podcasts, and follow along with us as we reinvestigate the murder at the warehouse.
I have to ask, did you kill Renee?
The spread of misinformation has fueled our cultural divide and increased our collective anxiety about the future. Tackling misinformation isn't a simple task, but it's important. And that's why I'm so excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that's dismantling New Age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis.
On the show, a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic walk into a bar, and the bartender says, no, it's not that old joke. They dive deep into current events, such as RFK Jr.'s involvement in mainstreaming dangerous anti-vax rhetoric.
Urgh.
They crowdsource, research, analyze, and dream up answers to the problem with, get this, proven science as their ultimate guiding light.
I highly recommend you check out Conspirituality's fascinating episodes on creating comedy in the MAGAverse with Jordan Klepper or RFK Jr. flirting with body fascism.
And you've listened to a bunch of them at this point, Paula, I know, and you tell me you love it.
I do. They're fascinating, and my favorite part is they use, wait for it, proven science.
And if
there's any kids listening, that's a class we used to take. Proven yep. science as their ultimate guiding light. I love that.
From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality podcast will help you stay informed about misinformation and help you resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, listener, it's Zach Harper, Amin El-Hassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
We're trying to ascertain?
Yes.
Okay.
Ascertain. Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is...
Whoa!
Oh, Maze, why do you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it?
Okay, I think we got it.
Cinephobe.
Wherever you get podcasts.
Yeah. Okay, so Paula wrote these sides. So,
well, she should already be ahead of the game.
She should already be ahead of the game, but we're just trying to give her every little bit of help we can. So,
you know, come to think of it, I didn't prepare for this either.
You didn't?
No, I wrote the sides, but I didn't really work at it. Okay, I mean, well, I just wrote it.
Here's what's going to happen. Okay. I'm going to read the description and the stage directions for the sides, and Jeannie, you're going to read all the other characters, and Paula is auditioning for the role of Marta.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's a character description. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
And you've already read this, probably.
I have.
Marta is a strong woman. She suffers no fools. She doesn't feel she needs a man, but when love comes a-knockin', she can't help peeking through the blinds. She's smart, a little bit quirky, and really into pugs. She has worked on campaigns for 30 years and is beginning to suspect that sexism has played a role in her not having climbed higher on the career ladder. Now, incoming governor of Michigan, Brent Fishman, on whose campaign Marta has worked her ass off on, has asked to meet with her. She is very hopeful. The scene begins in the interior of Zake's coffee shop. Wow, this is a complex thing. Are you following this?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay, so Marta arrives early and takes a seat in a booth that is familiar to her in Zake's coffee shop. Brent Fishman enters and walks over. Marta stands to greet him.
Good to see you, sir. How's the transition Oh, sorry. Let me try that again, Jeannie. Sorry.
Wow.
Oh, we're off to a great start.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Okay.
Marta stands to greet him.
That's exactly how it always goes, by the way. Good to see you, sir. How's the transition preparation going?
Well, it's going well. I think I even want to do this job. Have a seat, Marta. My gosh, I haven't seen you since election night. And what a night that was, too. You sure look beautiful with confetti in your hair.
See, I would cast you.
Just do the part.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I'm glad I had the chance to see what it looked like.
Well, Marta, you were no small part of my success. If my opponent had had a speechwriter of your caliber, I'd be able to pay for your coffee today without risking an ethics violation.
You're very kind, sir. But certainly your delivery had something to do with it. They're just words on a page if someone doesn't bring them to life.
Well, I'm building a team now, Marta, and I'd be a fool not to have you on it. That's why I'm asking you to serve me and the great state of Michigan by joining our team as the Deputy Chief of Staff to the First Lady of Michigan.
A waitress glides over with her food, check, and pen in hand.
What can I get you?
I'm sorry?
What can I get you?
No, not you. To this clown. You're right. I am a good speechwriter. The best one you had, too. Now, I'm supposed to prep your wife with zingers for her garden club speeches? I'll bet you didn't ask Bill Higgins to schedule the First Lady's appearances at preschool and photo shoots for the cover of the Michigander.
I'll come back.
And scene. Great, great job. That was a truly great job.
It was inspired.
Jeannie.
Yeah.
Jeannie.
Oh, that was very good. I didn't quite see how into pugs you were on that read, so
okay.
I'd like to maybe
see
that.
Funny.
Is that why you're probably not going to hire me?
Because I want you to seriously tear her apart. How did she do?
A lot of times they'll write something in the description.
Yes.
Even something like quirky that is not
helpful.
Really playable
no.
In that scene.
Absolutely.
And so Into Pugs
is
like one of those things that they put in there and you're just like, huh?
Right.
Yeah.
How does that come into play
And
at
yet
all?
I know that somebody is going in there and giving a reading
they're wearing a pug sweater.
Or maybe they have
would they be wearing a pug sweater?
Sure. There's underpinnings. What about that? Like I went to an audition for a restaurant tour like that served people and stuff. And I wore an apron and I felt like a big dork, but I just decided to, go for it. And do you think that helped or didn't help?
Could be a way to go.
Before we totally wipe this scene from Jeannie's mind, let's ask her how you did it.
Yeah, Jeannie, how'd I do?
I thought you did a terrific job.
Thank you very much.
I really did.
Fuck, I only wish this was real.
Well, it's not.
You stayed in it. You were committed. There was an arc to the scene.
Do you want to give her notes?
Well, she started
She's
friendly.
She's giving me notes. She said there was an arc to the scene.
Yeah, but let's do it again. Let's do it again.
I do want to make an adjustment.
All right, yeah.
I think maybe she's a little more nervous at the top.
Okay.
She doesn't quite know what to expect and why he wants to see her and he's a big deal to her. And you think maybe there's, something exciting that's going to come out of it. And then when he drops on you what it is, I think let him have it even a little more.
Bigger when you're letting him have it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
That's what you're going to get.
Those are great notes.
Ready? Those are good notes.
Okay. So let's do this. Marta arrives early and takes a seat in the booth that's familiar to her. Brent Fishman enters and walks over. Marta stands to greet him.
Good to see you, sir. How's the transition preparation going?
Well, it's going well. I think I even want to do this job.
Have a seat, Marta. My gosh, I haven't seen you since election night, and what a night that was, too. You sure look beautiful with confetti in your hair.
Thank you, sir. I'm glad I had the chance to see what it looked like.
Well, Marta, you were no small part of my success. If my opponent had had a speechwriter of your caliber, I'd be able to pay for your coffee today without risking an ethics violation.
You're very kind, sir. But certainly your delivery had something to do with it. They're just words on a page if someone doesn't bring them to life.
Well, I'm building a team now, Marta, and I know I'd be a fool not to have you on it. That's why I'm asking you to serve me in the great state of Michigan by joining our team as the Deputy Chief of Staff to the First Lady of Michigan.
A waitress glides over with her food check and pen in hand.
What can I get you?
I'm sorry?
What can I get you?
No, not you. To this clown. You're right. I am a good speechwriter. The best one you had, too. Now I'm supposed to prep your wife with zingers for her garden club speeches? I'll bet you didn't ask Bill Higgins to schedule the First Lady's appearances at preschools and photo shoots for the cover of the Michigander.
I'll come back.
And scene. Wow.
Whoa, whoa. Wow, the transition.
Just day and night.
Day and night.
I felt that rage.
Yeah, that was really good. I didn't think it was overblown, but it was good. It was
Yes. I mean, maybe pushing the nervous at the top a little bit.
She's pushing the nervous a little too hard.
Yeah, a little too nervous
maybe,
at the top.
Maybe a little too nervous at
right,
the
you
top.
Did just, you did just help him run a successful campaign.
Oh, well, I do distinctly remember something to tell me, someone saying that I should be nervous.
Wow.
so fair.
Now, at an audition, when somebody blames you...
You might not want to do that.
Yeah, okay.
Cast, yeah. But go right ahead, yeah.
But would you, do you think Paula would have, if you'd put her on tape for this, do you think she'd have a chance at this part?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
What about for the Paula Poundstone movie?
No.
No. Yeah. No. No. She's not as jolly. Paula Poundstone is not as jolly.
Yeah,
I'm a little too heavy in the
youthful,
face
but...
for her.
Right.
Yeah. And she's lighter. Just in general, she's lighter and happier.
That was great. I know. I'm really into this story now. I hope that we return to Marta and...
I'm dying to know what happens.
And, what's his
Zoolander
name?
At some point.
Not, yeah. I don't think it's Zoolander. It's
that's wonderful.
I think just trust your instincts, Paula.
Well, thank you, Jeannie Bacharach, for helping Paula nail her next audition. Paula? Based on what Jeannie just told you and your scene that you just did, what advice can you give our actor friends out there listening about how to audition?
Anya, if you could give me a little ukulele player background music to explain to the listener what I now know about auditioning. When you audition, you want to be familiar. You know, with the piece you are auditioning for. I'm sorry, I'm going to fuck this up, but it's not good to apologize before you begin. You don't want to engage in conversation for more than about 5 minutes before you audition, which means if you're a fan of mine, you should get used to listening to me on Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone because that's the only place I'll ever be. The last point I'll reinforce is that if someone directs you to play a part more nervous, and you play a part more nervous, and they say it was too nervous, you should say, my mistake. Could I try that again?
Jeannie Bacharach is an Emmy Award-winning casting director. Thank you so much for being on our show, Jeannie.
Thanks, Jeannie.
The cat of the week is Nelson from Chicago, Illinois. Thank you, house band. Anya, Lena, Lucero, Colin. Paula, before we get to hear how parents should approach helping their kids with homework, let's take a moment and thank Paula Poundstone fans who come out to see Paula Poundstone in Poundstone person.
Oh, that is the nicest thing.
Yeah, so where are you going to be in the coming weeks, Paula Poundstone?
Well, Adam, thank you for asking. I'll be in Mesa, Arizona on February 15th at the Mesa Arts Center and in Atlanta, Georgia on February 22nd at the Buckhead Theater.
Wow, that's terrific, Paula. I'll be sure to try to catch you there. Now, you might wonder how awkward that was and why. Here's the thing. It's about to get a lot more awkward.
Uh-oh.
So, Paula, I noticed that you have a faraway look in your eye as though you're remembering the past.
I am, Adam. Right now, I'm remembering the past.
What are you thinking about?
I'm thinking, did I do the right thing with my kids and homework?
Yeah, that's kind of the look you had on your face.
Yeah, I've been thinking about
that. That is one of the worst segues I've ever perpetrated, and I deeply regret not having thought about it further.
No,
but it's true that you do actually look back at the past a lot and try to figure out where you went right or wrong as a parent.
Yes.
And the homework thing has been on your mind.
And who cannot do that, by the way? It's an impossible job. But one of the hardest things about parenting, in my experience, was, of course, coping with homework.
Right. Now, as a parent, this has not really entered my life in any kind of major way yet, because my oldest is 10 and my youngest is in kindergarten.
Yeah, well, they start with homework in kindergarten. But so when, nobody listens to Paula Poundstone is a joyful romp through information. And
yes.
One of the areas of information that I thought it would be helpful for my listeners, all six of them, to have, and if they each tell a friend, we'll have 12, I wanted to bring on a teacher to talk about how to handle homework with your kid.
What were your struggles? My struggles with homework is occasionally my son doesn't want to do it.
Okay. It was just always agony. And almost every time. My daughter, Tosha, in particular, what they used to say was there this rule of thumb. Maybe this was like elementary school, I guess, was that, it shouldn't be more than 20 minutes of homework. I don't know if they even, maybe that was kindergarten.
That sounds like kindergarten.
Early,
it sounds like
the
they're happy
grades.
To give you more than 20 minutes now.
But what no one ever understood, that my daughter, Tosha, couldn't get a pencil in 20 fucking minutes.
Really?
And if she did, it would roll off the table and the point would break. And then we'd have to drag over the pencil. It was just the whole sloth was her number one weapon.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
you know,
she used it.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Like a saber. She was skilled at sloth. So anyways, it was just often struggles. But one teacher would say to me, you have to let the kids do it themselves because that's how they, that's how they're going to learn.
They're never going to learn if you're always holding their hand.
Right, exactly. And people would use that really mean, you're a helicopter parent, which I think name calling from teachers to parents is probably unnecessary.
Well, we'll find out.
And then I would get the other thing entirely, which is, you have to help them. The parent who's involved, that was the key to the kid's success.
So that's confusing to you.
Yeah, so I just never had any idea. So sometimes what I would do is she'd be doing her homework and I would just put my head on the table and cry.
Okay.
And that seemed to be helpful.
I don't think any teacher is going to recommend that, but we'll find out because we
really?
Have someone...
Really? Because it's what my mother used to do.
Put your head on the table and cry while you did your homework?
Yeah.
Well, it's one strategy. What we have here, though, is somebody who can answer all of these questions. Jason Shine is a lead teacher at the Brighton School in Los Angeles. Please welcome educator extraordinaire, Jason Shine.
Jason, thanks so much for being here.
Sure. Hey, everybody.
Welcome, and thank you, Anyalina. It's spelled with an H. You'll see when you go to our website, everybody. So I'm always on the verge of saying Anyalina.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it doesn't have an N. What is that thing that goes over the Enye? A silken flejo.
Ray Horseman says it's a silken flejo.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, it's insulting that I pronounce it that way.
Silken flejo, which is the name of my little gray kitty.
Jason, we're going to get to you.
I'm sorry, Jason. We're coming.
Just like the homework, right?
I'm
eventually.
On my way.
Right,
exactly. Yeah.
Paul has to sharpen another two pencils.
Yeah.
Now, Jason, how involved should a parent be with their child's homework?
It depends, really. Depends if the student's doing it on their own. Pretty simple answer. So basically, some people just kind of get it done. It's like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Right.
So there's the kids that get it done, but the answer usually is they should be some involved. So making sure that they, making sure that they know what the homework is.
Okay.
Yeah, that's step one, is knowing what it is.
Knowing what it
usually
is.
Usually just
and
getting to that point.
Some kids have ways of getting around that, right? They don't bring their homework home.
We couldn't even get past step one ever.
Right.
Yeah.
You weren't sure that you were being told the truth about what the homework was? Do a lot of your students do that?
Sometimes. They have like an altered reality field where they can truly believe there's no homework. And
right.
It usually works like that.
Oh, yeah. That sounds familiar to me. Not with my kids, but with me.
Yes.
So how much homework?
How much homework should they have?
Yeah. You heard the 20-minute thing from Paula?
Was this something you heard in the past, in the present, in the future?
Yeah. I mean, my kids are now young adults, but when they were in elementary school, I think maybe kindergarten, first grade, I was told 20 minutes.
I think that might be more like Yeah, an elementary school kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it's funny, like the concept of how much homework just came up. So my coworker is one of my best friends. Uh-huh. We've been friends since we were 12.
Wow.
Oh, that's nice.
So a couple years back. And so we were talking about the idea of what's the deal with homework? Should we get rid of homework? Should we like minimize it? And so we were doing some research and it turns out that there's kind of a more of a push in America to have less homework.
Yeah.
To have way less, like maybe an hour or something like that, even for high school. And even some elementary schools are just deciding to kind of not do homework.
Right.
Just because like the kids aren't doing it anyway, might as well have family time.
Right.
So hopefully that shift is happening because other kids will come to our school and the last school they'll say it's like 4 hours of homework.
Wow.
Yeah.
So there really was a push to have more homework over a period of the last couple of decades, right?
There could be. There's definitely a lot of places like high school where you have lots of homework because the amount of classes that are, there was of course like honors classes, then APs. And so now the amount of AP classes that these kids are kind of expecting to take, like the norm is just such a high number.
Oh, I know that. I know, because I just went back to my old high school. Because
there was an assignment you hadn't turned in?
There was an assignment I hadn't turned in. No, I'll have you know that this last spring, I was inducted into the Jericho High School Hall of Fame.
Wait a minute.
It's true.
Oh, my gosh.
And I went back, and there was this.
What did you wear?
I wore what you're wearing right now.
Oh, no. Man.
And I was asked to speak in a couple of classes and meet some of the students before we did a ceremony that night.
Uh-huh.
And these kids, the high school kids, are taking something like 4 or 5 AP classes per semester?
Yeah.
We didn't even have 5 AP classes at my school. What happened?
They were barely invented. Yeah. It's just the kind of the competition has gone up for colleges. And so now every year, the expectation or what the colleges say, you know, you might want to take to get in, or that just keeps going up. So it's gone up over the course of years. So these kids are taking, you know, they might be taking 5 AP classes by the time they graduate.
Is that what's going on with your kids?
No, not with our school. No, we're kind of a different situation. So they're the kind of schools where the kids are, so our school's a little different. We accommodate actors. So like our kids are actors, they're dancers, figure skaters.
Oh, wow.
And so that's kind of the main thing is we accommodate to be able to do that. So we couldn't really give them 4 hours of homework anyway because
they're going
to
be on set.
Exactly.
And then they need to rest.
Or they're going
to
be on the ice. A lot of figure skaters can only do things in multiples of 8. Did you know that?
I did not know that. When they do math.
Yeah.
Because they're doing a figure eight.
Exactly right. It's like a syndrome.
Really?
You know what's weird, though?
I have not been aware of that. Bonnie, put that down. I just want to say our producer, Bonnie Burns, is once again
wrinkling
shit.
What do you mean?
How could I hear that?
The other thing about Bonnie Burns, she's a lovely person.
How could I hear that?
But apparently, there are, how do I put this? She's
deaf.
She.
That's how you put it. She's probably not hearing me say this right now.
Yeah, you're
right. She's constantly making annoying noises. And right now, just take it out of her hands, Tony. Take that paper out of her hands.
But no, I mean, it's sort of, okay, so Bonnie was making a crinkling noise, Jason, and we've had this problem repeatly. Yeah, I'm sure you've had kids in class before.
Eating in class.
Yeah, we have to say, please stop crinkling, right? Exactly. I'm talking. Maybe you have enough for everyone.
Well, they'll do the thing where they crinkle it really slow, you know?
That's what she does.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's worse. Isn't that worse?
And then she can't believe that we can hear it because she can't hear it.
Well, they think if they stand still like a T-Rex, you know, you can't see them if they don't move.
Yeah.
The T-Rex with the motion detector eyes, according to Jurassic Park. All right, let's get to a more basic question. What is the point of homework?
So actually, there is a good point to homework. And
we
just by total coincidence, just started having this conversation recently. And one big thing is like you're in
class.
And
you've known each other since you were 12.
Yeah.
And this is the first time as teachers that you ever brought up to one another. What's the point of homework?
We didn't talk about homework in high school because, you know, we're busy not doing it. No,
yeah,
just
kidding. Sure. Right.
If any of my kids are one of your 12 listeners, no.
Yeah.
Okay. So so there is a point. So you're in class, teacher's teaching, they're explaining it, and you look at it and you see what they're doing and you go, I get it. And then maybe you do like some practice problems and you don't understand. So the kid next to you, ask him. So you really, it gives an opportunity to actually sit there and focus by yourself and try to see, you know, what can I understand this if I don't have someone that's going to answer the question and tell me if I just raise my hand? So it gives you a chance to try it on your own.
Yeah.
I tell my students on the first day in geometry class that like, there's almost no way you could possibly use this in your real life.
Okay.
So it's not about learning the material. It's about whatever you're going to learn. Like you're going to learn, what do you do if you're challenged? What if you have to learn something that doesn't come naturally to you? What do you do? Like that's what you're learning. And that way you get those skills because you have a kind of a setup.
Well, I do think there's somebody somewhere who's using geometry, just not the average.
Geometry teachers.
Geometry teachers.
Yeah. No. Well, I have to know the reason I say that.
I think geometry is a very useful branch of mathematics because it teaches you how to logically prove an argument.
Well, I do a joke in my act. You have not logically proved an argument in your entire fucking life, Adam Felber.
Oh, that is so not true.
I do a joke.
It's just you can't follow a logical argument. So you just respond with an is not.
I do a joke in my act wherein I ask the audience how many people in that room have bisected angles. And usually, you know, in a crowd of like 1,000, there will be a couple of hands go up. So somebody somewhere is using some geometry. But I remember my daughter, Allie, had these angle bisection questions one time on her homework, in our geometry homework. And she came to me and she didn't have any trouble at all with that. She was able to do that quite successfully. But the next question, because this is when they were really working hard at making the math relevant. So the next question was, name three ways you'll use this in real life. That's what she came to me stumped by. And I just said, you know, I'm going to be honest with you, you won't.
I think it's splitting a Dorito with a friend.
That's what I said. I said, unless you're serving pizza to some really picky people, I don't see it happening.
Does that come up much in your balloon animals?
Oh,
Well, take a look at this balloon animal and you tell me. Because
it looks like some of my students' diagrams, I think.
Yeah.
Well, it's a cello.
Mean that flatteringly.
I mean, excuse me, it's a ukulele.
I could tell that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the strings.
You're a good teacher.
Because the tuning pegs actually gave it away.
Yeah, right. The tuning pegs. Thank you,
There's
Jason.
There's no tuning pegs on it.
There are tuning pegs right there. So what's the matter with you?
Jason, how can Paula help her kids concentrate on homework? Should she have more kids?
Sure. Yeah, so providing an environment where they can concentrate and showing them that it's a possible thing they can exist is good. So I know I did a lot of my homework in front of the TV.
I did too when I was
Yeah, exactly. And now these kids have their distraction devices in their pockets.
Right.
Yeah. So they've got so many there's so much environment around them that would be probably a bad place to study. So having that exist, like I have students where they'll just say, there's not really a good place to study in my house. So having a place that you can actually, you know, a desk that's like, got not just covered with whatever stuff on it and having lights and stuff like that.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So you just feel it's up to, like, what is your kid's particular penchant, whether or not how involved the parent is in that homework.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's a lot of it's the responsibility part. So, like, making sure they are aware what the homework is. Like, that's, like I said, that's job one, right? That's job one. It's, like, finding out how you even find out what the homework is. Okay. That's, like, step two, right?
Right.
And then, of course, you know, sitting down, like so many things to us sound like second nature. Like, how do you get work done? You sit down and you put it in front of you and then you look at it and you think about it. It's so obvious, but to kids, they don't understand that's how it works really. So like, if you just show them, like sit down, put the paper in front of you and then turn off stuff, like they just don't even know that part. I'm not saying all of them.
Yeah.
Especially not my kids. But yeah, some of them.
All right, well, Jason, let's change subject a little bit. I want to talk about actual curriculum. Has math changed a lot? Because in my perception, it has. Has it changed for the better?
So I think the big change you're talking about is this thing called Common Core.
Common Core.
Yeah, and so Common Core was something that I think probably no one in this room learned in school. Like, I didn't learn in school. And then at some point in the last, I don't know, maybe two decades, they decided to teach math this way that's called the Common Core. And so the big problem with it was that everyone who was a teacher had not learned that way.
Right.
And so in the same way of like second nature, if I want to multiply two numbers, I have a way that I do it, but it's already just second nature. So if I want to teach someone, the way I know to teach it is the method that was taught to me where imagine however you do it on paper, that's how you would do it. But then they came up with another way to do it on paper that if you're learning from scratch, probably is more intuitive and probably matches more with the way our brains think. But then every teacher in America didn't learn that way. And so I'm sure like with teachers, I know personally, sometimes if something goes on that's administration and you don't agree with it, it's hard to hide it.
Right.
So I think that's probably what happened is that they were voicing their frustration to all the kids.
Right.
And the parents see the homework and the parents are like, this is crazy. What is this? This isn't how I learned it. And that was kind of the big thing is it's just not how everyone else learned it. It's probably just the same, at least just as good.
I know what I was about to ask you before was this, what I was told when my kids were in school, because when I was little, I don't think we started having homework until at least the second grade, maybe even the third, but at least the second grade. Well, we considered it this rite of passage. I looked forward to having homework. I mean, very soon I learned what an idiot I was, but in the beginning, I looked forward to having homework. I felt like a mark of maturity. But when my kids went to school, they had homework in kindergarten. And what the school tried to tell the parents was that, you know, this was good because it would become second nature to them so quickly by having. What's your feeling about that kindergarten homework?
You probably don't need to do it.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Just like figure out how to use the toilet and stuff like that. That can be your homework.
Yeah, Yeah. Well, I think by the time they're in kindergarten, they're you know, well, they're.
Well,
yeah,
my daughter's in kindergarten now, and she went through the same rite of passage that you did, except 2 years earlier.
Oh, so she looked forward to having homework.
Her first time, she was so psyched the first day she had homework, and like a week later, she was rolling her eyes at it.
Yeah, right.
It took a week.
Yeah, I think it's a little. I just, you know, it's. I mean, for me, it's so stressful for the parent. And let's face it. I mean, in terms of homework, you know, putting their name at the top of the page can take a kindergartner 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And if you know, if somebody actually has like a long name, then they're screwed. That's like, okay, you know, forget Tiny Tot Basketball. You're just writing your name at the top of the page tonight. So, yeah, I never felt good about that. Now, what about, are there particular homework routines that you recommend?
Yeah, probably so. I mean, the kind of standard thing of like, get your homework done before you do stuff is probably good because as you're, you know, procrastinating, as we all know, you've got that in the back of your head and you know it's there and it kind of stresses you out.
Well, it does. It kind of wrecks everything that you're going to do.
Exactly, yeah.
Because you know that sooner or later, you're going to have to do that homework. And who knows, you might be drunk by then.
At the same time, at the same time, well, my kids did like sports, and we went right from school. At one point, I had kids in three different schools, and I pick them up in the van, and we went right from school to the sports thing, and so there wasn't always time at that point.
But you had the sports routine.
We did. We had the sports
routine.
So you get
the benefit of like having that routine shows you, I mean, that it's possible to, once you do something kind of in a routine, even if it's going to sports, then it's a little. It's easier to not be lazy about getting up and doing something because you're like, well, look, I did it every day. So then the next time you're supposed to do it. So if you do your homework every day for a month when you get home from school, you may not do that forever. But then the concept of getting up and doing your homework is a piece of routine for you, even if you only do it sometimes.
Yeah, but I can't say that. I mean, we did these routines and we did like sit down and do the homework and we did, you know, we did all that stuff. And I can't say it took. And by the way, I wouldn't say that for myself either. I don't know if you were here earlier, Jason, but sometimes when I go for an audition, I'm not as prepared as I could be.
That's right. Oh, yeah, you're right.
I mean, some of that for me is just that I have so goddamn much other stuff to do.
Sure.
But I do still have a reluctance to anything that feels like homework.
So is that a thing? Like if you have a reluctance to homework, you're going to be reluctant to get things done in later life because you haven't formed the correct habits?
I think the big thing is if there's a kid that's reluctant to do homework, you got to get them to do whatever the thing they want to do, but like take it seriously.
Right.
Yeah, because if they're reluctant to do this thing, because really, what is it? What's the point of how are you going to convince someone? What's the reward for homework? I guess it's a job well done or something like that.
We'll reward you with a tattoo on the small of your back.
Yeah. Because you want a whore mark on your
Thank you very
kid.
Much.
Jason,
you know, I spent
last
weekend watching original movies on the Whore Mark channel, and it's fantastic.
Oh, the Hallmark Channel.
The Hallmark
you get
Channel
that?
Is fantastic. Yeah.
Oh, the stories
heartwarming
are,
stories
they're,
of prostitutes.
They're always so warm. Yeah. Of Ann Jones. Jason, do you know, are any of the students that you taught when they were little now adults and you know them?
I do, yeah.
And have you?
How'd you do, Jason?
Yeah, I mean, have you noticed?
They're
like,
still alive.
Have you noticed a relationship between the kind of habits they had as students and how they function as adults?
They're not that much older. I mean, so I have students that are just about maybe 21 or so, and because of the type of school, they're all successful in the entertainment field.
Oh, uh-huh.
So like the geometry
like Matt
maybe
Damon.
Didn't matter
Did you
as
teach
much.
Matt Damon?
I can't say.
Yeah,
oh, you're not older than 21, Paula.
I think no, not in the movie I saw him in.
But you might have been watching an old movie.
Good Will Hunting.
Yeah, he's old, way older than 21.
And he did
now.
a lot of homework in that.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah,
but he loved it.
It was sort of, the whole film was sort of a Valentine's to you, I think, just a way of saying.
I'm in
thank
the credits
you.
If you look really carefully.
Yeah, thank you, Jason, my teacher. Okay, let me think about who else you might have taught.
I'm going to say that you probably
the
aren't going to be
the Olsen twins.
Able,
did you teach the Olsen
they're
twins?
They're older than 21 as well.
Yeah, but not when he taught. Oh, yeah, right. None of your students are older than 21 now.
Pretty much.
What grade levels do you teach?
Middle school, high school.
Middle school, high school. Oh, geez. Are you ever like, are you like Sidney Poitier in To Sir With Love?
I didn't teach him either. I would say that again.
No. Yeah, did you teach Sidney Poitier?
Did you teach Sidney Poitier?
He never did his homework.
Yeah.
Right.
Did you ever see the movie To Sir With Love?
I didn't.
Did you ever see Welcome Back, Kotter?
I know what that is. up your nose with the rubber hose. I know
that's,
that part.
Yeah, that's such a great...
That's all you need to know, right?
Yeah, no, what you need to know is Horseshack. Oh.
You don't need to know any of this. It's a sitcom that was on the air before he was born.
If you're going to be a teacher, you need to know Welcome Back, Kotter. And it would
in
be,
what way?
It would be good to know our Miss Brooks.
How?
Well, not in the carnal sense.
No, but I mean, how is this helpful?
It was Eve Arden, for God's sake. She's dead. What's the matter with you? No.
This is my problem now. I want to bail myself out of this, but I don't know how. No, what I'm asking is, how is a not working knowledge of Welcome Back, Kotter helpful for Jason's career?
Well, I was in high school when Welcome Back, Kotter was on TV, and I used to watch that show and think to myself, I would watch that show while I was doing my homework, and I would think to myself, what's the matter with me? Why am I so immature? How come I'm nothing like these guys? And then one day, years later, I was in the grocery store line, and one of the actors from that show was in the line with me, and I realized, oh, the reason I didn't seem like them is because they were 30 years old when they were doing those roles.
Yeah,
they weren't teenagers. That's why. So, you know, why don't I have a beard?
I get it, right. Yeah. And then by the time you were 30, you had one.
Yeah, well, it's what, yeah, by the time I had a beard, I wish I didn't.
Gotcha. Jason, your thoughts on that?
I don't think a beard's the right look.
Well, there
you wouldn't
you
get
go.
The part.
Do you have any teachers that you look up to from a kid that influenced you?
Oh yeah.
And what about them made them influential?
He was a little crazy.
Oh, he was a little crazy.
Yeah, his name was Greenbrier Ferdinand Rubidoux Benton Perdue Gary Lee Gosser. That's all you need to know.
Wait,
say it again. Were you stuttering?
Greenbrier Ferdinand Rubidoux Benton Perdue Gary Lee Gosser. You just never knew what to expect. So I try to throw a little of that in there, you know?
Yeah.
A little Rubidoux.
Throw a little Rubidoux in there.
Wow. What did he teach?
That was calculus.
Wow.
Rubidoux did calculus.
Oh, he sure did. He was the best.
Oh my God.
Was he like the guy from Stand and Deliver?
Another one of these. What are we talking about?
You don't have to know. Smile and
is this
nod.
Another John Travolta show?
Paula will be fine with it. Bonnie
really
didn't hear it.
Watch.
We're all good.
It was a movie about one of the best teachers of all time, a guy that whose name I can't remember right now, but I will. He worked actually in East L.A., I believe it was. He taught inner city kids calculus, and he made them hell on wheels in calculus. The heck was his name? Jaime Escalante.
All right. Well,
there you have it.
I thank you for helping fill out Jason's Netflix queue.
Yeah, well, that's what part
tonight.
Of what I'm here
yeah,
for.
Yeah, tonight. Go
Can
home
you and... remember a homework assignment that you did when you were a kid that you now go, boy, thank goodness I did that?
Oh, man, I wasn't prepared for that question. There must be one.
Yeah,
there
this is
somewhere.
A pattern, Jason.
A homework homework question that I did. We did once. I do have a confession to make that my friend that we're in school, we're teaching.
Right, teaching together. You never now, talked yeah. about homework.
We had to do this project one time. It was this project called the Reconstruction Project, which I now know what that is. You know,
okay. The Reconstruction.
Project. Yeah. And so
there's Reconstruction of the South.
Yeah, exactly.
Post Civil War.
Yeah, right. At the moment, I did not know what it meant at all because he had this brilliant idea on how we could do the project, which was. We just to not do the project and tell the teacher that she lost it, and it worked. And we got 100%.
Wait, you didn't do the project?
We didn't do it.
Oh, that was that teacher, Miss Lamo.
This is Miss Dugan.
So you
Miss Dugan had some problems.
She
what
was
kind
too
of
trusting.
A teacher?
She was too trusting.
You just told her you
trusting.
Lost it?
Miss,
this is after all these years.
No, you thought she was trusting. She was a drinker.
Yeah.
She didn't want to. No, Miss Dugan
Miss
was
Dugan,
just
if you're
phoning
out there,
it
what
in.
The f-
Yeah,
honestly.
Yeah.
She had the right attitude, I think. You know, just coast through it.
So if a kid told you they lost their homework.
Oh, no. I know. I was me.
Oh,
so I know. Right. She never had a student. You know, she never had.
Wow. I want to live in her world. Yeah. Oh, he lost a piece of good boy. Anyway, let's move on.
Yeah.
No, that's why I make my policies because of, you know.
Really? Based on Miss Dugan?
Oh, yeah. There's this,
that's
there's
one the... hungry dog you have at home. Oh, well.
That's right. There's the Dugan decree that I go by. You know.
Yeah. My daughter would sometimes screw up the lie. Yeah. So she once told the teacher that she ate the dog. And that's...
Well, I hope that was a good lunch for you anyway. Moving on.
When they say that, you just don't. You just let them. That kid, you let him.
Really?
Let them get away. Well, yeah, because they might eat the dog. You know?
Yeah, right. No, right. And Eric, yeah. Yeah. No, she just never. Yeah, she pulled some fast ones, that kid.
Good thing she never had Miss Dugan, because then nothing would have gotten done.
Yeah, honestly. She would have been. Oh, she. No, but I think Miss Dugan was just phoning it in. Miss Dugan just didn't want to do her job.
Well, yeah.
That's
yeah.
exactly what that yeah. sounds like.
And you sensed that earlier. You like kids go for blood, man. When
like a lion with a sick gazelle. Yeah, we could. target.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You saw, like, you saw Miss Dugan.
Right, saw the limp.
She's already limping.
Yeah, Miss Dugan was.
Just tell her we
she
lost
was leaving
it.
Like a bloody there. Footprint well, while
you
she
lost
walked
it again.
Down the hall.
Butterfingers.
I'm going to be Miss Dugan from now on.
I love your Miss Dugan.
Thank you. Well, anyway, thank you, Jason, for giving us a crib sheet on homework. Paula, what advice can you give our listeners about parents and their children's homework?
I'd like to tell it to you now, Adam. Anyalina, could you give me a little Euclianasia-ists ukulele behind my homework insight? Your kid needs to learn how to concentrate. Many students find that difficult because they have electronics in so many rooms and in their pockets, which I might personally add is a mind-blowingly easy problem to solve. Teach your kid to turn their phone off. Homework teaches your child that they can take the steps that it requires to do homework, like know that they have homework. The best thing a parent can do for their student who struggles with homework is do whatever you have to do and pay whatever you have to pay to get them into Miss Dugan's class.
Jason Shine is lead teacher at the Brighton School. Jason, thank you so much for being on our show.
Thanks so much. Brighton Hall, thank you.
Thanks, Jason.
We'll be right back on Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone after this.
Is there a dog in a car at a bar on the street?
Yay! I'm Allegra Ringo, a small dog owner. My dog Pistachio howls when she's excited.
And I'm Renee Culvert, a big dog owner. My dog Tugboat tips over when he's sleepy.
And we co-host a podcast called Can I Pet Your Dog that airs every Tuesday. We bring you all things dog.
Yes, dog news, dog tech, dogs we met this week. We also have pretty famous guests on, but Legs, we're not going to let them talk about their projects.
No.
Just want to hear about those dogs.
We don't want to hear about your stuff, only your dogs. So join us every Tuesday on Max Fun.
Hello, this is Amy Mann.
And I'm Ted Leo.
And we have a podcast called The Art of Process. We're talking about how the creative process is in itself an art form, in our opinion. There are underlying forms and structures that serve as a scaffolding for any creative endeavor.
We've been lucky enough over the past year to talk to some of our friends and acquaintances from across the creative spectrum to find out how they actually work.
We weirdly don't know as many musicians as you would expect.
New episodes will be coming every other Monday,
starting January 28th.
So please listen and subscribe at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcast.
Thank you. Okay, Paula Poundstone, we are pulling into the home stretch.
No.
Yes, it is. It's almost time for us to go. And so first, I want to thank our sponsors, HelloFresh. You can go to HelloFresh.com/Poundstone80 and enter Poundstone80, and all the food in the world will be yours. That might be an exaggerated offer right there.
It might be a slight exaggeration.
And thanks to our new sponsor, ModCloth. Remember, when you go to ModCloth.com, enter code Poundstone at checkout, and the world is your oyster.
I love it.
But, you know, as long as we're talking about things that will bring joy to people's lives, let's talk about the Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone's T-shirts from Maximum Fun.
We have those, don't we?
We have them, and they say, I'm wearing one right now, in fact.
Oh, Adam is wearing one right now.
I am wearing one right now, and it says, Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone on the front. It's a lovely dark color, and in the back, it's got a... It's got an interesting quote from Paula Poundstone from the podcast.
It's got a piece of advice from the
A piece of advice from
podcast. They're right.
And you can get those at maxfunstore.com.
Yeah. So you should probably do that. And then also, all right, I don't like to toot my own horn, but I have a remarkably soft Tri-Poly Blend shirt that's available at my website. It has a self-portrait on the left breast and a memorable quote on the back.
Yeah, and it's great. I'm happy to say that some of our listeners are starting to chime in online and actually take my part in this, in pointing out that there is no such thing as a Tri-Poly Blend, but that your shirt is wonderful.
There is. My shirt is a remarkably soft Tri-Poly Blend shirt, and it's available at my website at www.paulapoundstone.com.
If you want to submit a theme song or need advice or have spotted Thomas Korn and want to talk to us about it, email us at nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com, and you can follow both Paula and me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Well, that's our show for tonight. Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone is hosted by Paula Poundstone and yours truly, Adam Felber. Produced by Paula Poundstone, Adam Felber, Captain Crinkle, Bonnie Burns, Ken Lezebnik, and Tony Anita Hull. Technical direction by Ray Horseman. Special thanks to tonight's house band, ukulele player, Anya Lena Lucero Collin, I'm never going to get tired of saying your name, and thank you. And thanks again to our guests, Jeannie Bacharach and Jason Shine. Our head of security was Tony Anita Hull.
Whoa.
Yes,
boy.
She's monstrous. She's more like Tony Anita Hulk.
When we step out onto Miranda Street tonight, there's going to be like bodies just laying on the ground.
She let the bodies hit the floor.
Yeah, where she like flipped them and
absolutely.
Stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. It was in slow motion with bullets flying everywhere.
There's carnage out there.
Yeah. Transcription services provided by Transcribe Me. For your special Paula Poundstone discount, use code Paula Poundstone when placing your order at transcribeme.com. And Paula, I hope that none of your passwords online are also Paula Poundstone, because we've been giving them away all night.
What, my passwords?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Your personal passwords.
Oh, none of mine.
Like your bank account and stuff.
No.
Okay.
No, none, no.
That's good.
My passwords are, I wasn't going to tell you my passwords. That's crazy. Well, anyways, that's our show for tonight. Won't somebody please listen to me?
Nobody listens to Paula Poundstone. Nobody listens to Paula. Nobody listens to Paula Poundstone, but we wish they would.
Chicka 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 chicka. Chicka 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 chicka.
Oh, won't you listen? Oh, won't you listen? Listen to Paula Poundstone.
Chicka.
Oh my God. MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.